Hey, welcome to True North Church. So good to be with you once again on another Sunday. We love getting together every single weekend, whether it's virtually or physically. And the reason we love getting together around here is because we love to worship and celebrate this man, our God, our King, Jesus Christ, who has saved us from a life of despair and given us hope, given us a future. And around here, if you're new, maybe checking us out for the first time, that's all we want you to hear and see today is the name of Jesus. We want you to have an encounter with Jesus because we believe when you encounter Jesus, when you discover him, the real Jesus, it will change your life and your life will never be the same. And we want that for people because so many of us around here have had our lives changed. If you happen to be joining us for the first time, we would love to know that you tuned in with us. You can fill out one of our digital connection cards. Let us know how we can be praying for you. Let us know how we can come alongside of you in whatever season you might happen to be in right now. We love getting to meet new people. We love bringing new people into our family, into our community here. That's how we see this, the body of Christ, the church, Jesus' church. It's a family. And so we get excited every time we get the opportunity to bring new people into that family. If you do call True North Church your home, I'm praying every single week that you are growing in your relationship with Christ. I can't stress this enough. There's nothing more important than you developing and continuing to develop a relationship with Jesus and allowing him to change your life, to allow his love to kind of pour through you so that you are pouring that back out into the world. I'm praying every single week that you and your families are connecting with him. And that's around here at True North. One of the things that we care deeply about is just providing opportunities for you to do that. And so I encourage you, go to our website, truenorthpgh.org. You can go there anytime. Check out all the different things that we have to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus, from small groups to volunteering opportunities to giving financially. There are so many ways that you can be growing, and not only growing, but helping to impact the world around us. One of the things I love about True North and this community, again, is just how many people are invested in helping us to build the kingdom. The church, the body of Christ, we were meant to do this whole thing together, to do life together. And that means growing together, but that also means having impact together. So thank you for those of you who are investing week in and week out in the kingdom. I know that we here, leadership here at True North Church, are so appreciative of that. And it excites us every week to watch as you guys are engaging in ministry and making a difference, making an impact, being world changers. That's our phrase around here. We want to develop world changers for Jesus. And so if that's you, thank you. And if you're maybe kind of sitting on the fence or been on the sidelines for a while now, maybe you've been joined attending True North for a little while, I want to encourage you, get in the game. Come, join us. Be a part of the mission here. You will not only have your life changed, but it will be so encouraging to you, I believe, as you kind of dig in and begin to help us make a difference in our community and in our world. But hey, today we are here to continue a series that we began last week that we're calling Keep Hope Alive. You know, I heard about this guy, this father, who was going to his kid's baseball game. And he was running a little bit late. He had to work late that day. And he showed up to the game, and it was right near the end of the first inning. And he looked at the scoreboard when he got there. And as he looked up, the score said 18-0. Bad guys, the other team, 18-0, they were up. And he thought, oh my goodness, my kid must be just so discouraged. And so he walked up to his son, who was sitting in the dugout, and he kind of leaned in, you know, put his nose through the fence, and he said, hey buddy, how you doing, man? You know, it's 18-0, aren't you discouraged? And the little boy looked up at his dad, and he said, why would I be discouraged? We haven't even gotten up to bat yet. You know, that is the power of hope. That's the power of hope. It is what keeps us from giving up. When life hits hardest, when circumstances and situations in our life become difficult, it is hope that allows us to keep moving forward and to not stop and give up and live in despair. And so we're in the middle of a series. This is, again, week two, and we're talking about, as Jesus followers, this truth that no matter what circumstances we may be facing in our life, there is always hope. There is a reason to keep hope alive. If you joined us last week for week one, we talked about the number one reason that we can have hope in this life. And that is because of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for us. When he went to the cross and died for our sin, he gave us hope. And all of the promises, we talked about this, all the promises of God are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Again, I encourage you, go to our YouTube channel, grab our podcast, make sure you catch up on that message because it's really foundational for everything else that we're going to talk about in the rest of this series. But today, here's what I want to do. I want to key in on just one of those promises. One of those promises of God that are fulfilled in what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And that is the promise of heaven. You see, the truth is most of us, we don't have heaven on our minds. I think if we're really honest with ourselves, we don't think about heaven a whole lot, do we? I think one reason is we live in kind of an instant gratification culture, don't we? Right? Like we're just thinking about right here and right now and what we want and what we need right now. Heaven is just like so far away. It's such a long way off. I think another thing is we cling to this life. Right? I'm not ready yet to go to heaven. I haven't experienced all that this life has to offer. And so I don't want to think about heaven. I don't want to go to heaven yet because I'm not done living here and doing what I want to do here. But I think most of all, maybe more than anything else, is that we just simply don't understand how great heaven really is, how good it is going to be there. And so I want to talk for just a second before we really dive into the message today about what heaven is really like. Because I think maybe there's some confusion about that. And I think until we clear up that confusion, it's going to be hard to have a hope in heaven. It's going to be difficult for us to actually have the perspective that we want to go there and we want to be there. So first of all, heaven is a real place. It's a real physical place. It's not just some nebulous place up in space, this spiritual realm. There's a spiritual component to it, but it is a real, tangible, physical place. And this is some great news. When we go there, those of us who have put our faith in Christ, when we go there, Scripture tells us that we are going to receive a new body, a new physical body. And it's not going to be like the body that we have now. It's going to be better than the body that we have now. In the same way that Christ received a resurrected body, it will be very similar to that. It will be a body that does not deteriorate, where there is no more pain, where there's no more suffering. We get a new body. And for anybody who's had health issues in this life or struggles with physical pain, that should just get us so excited. So it's a physical place, and we are going to get a new physical body. And it is the place, and this is such good news, where God is. It is his home. It is the place where God dwells in heaven, in the heavenlies, right? And where God is, there can be no evil. There can be no sin. It is good. It is better than anything that we can imagine. And then this is maybe the best news of all, that it is where God dwells. And it is where he has prepared a place for us to dwell for all of eternity. He is preparing a place for us. In fact, what Scripture tells us is that is our real home. That this world that we live in right now, this is temporary. We are aliens in a foreign land. This is not our home. And I think deep down, if you really just, again, are honest with yourself, we know this to be true. We know this to be true. We have a longing. We have a desire for something that I believe this world can never fully offer to us. That we simply, no matter how hard we try, this earth can't supply it to us. I love how C.S. Lewis puts this. He says, "The fact that our heart yearns for something earth can't supply is proof that heaven must be our home." It's like we're traveling businessmen or traveling salesmen, and we're staying in a junky Motel 6, eating, you know, convenience store burritos, And all along, we have this home, this amazing mansion that we get to go to when we're finally done with that business trip. And there, it's perfect. There's surf and turf. There's, you know, it's the epitome of safe and comfortable. It's where all of the things are that we love. That is what heaven is going to be. The bottom line, heaven is better. It's better. It is so much better than what we have here. And if we would really understand that and begin to take that to heart, this world that we're living in right now, not only would the challenges and the difficulties that we face on a day-to-day basis here not seem as trying, but it would also make us not cling to this world as much, because we recognize that there's something so much better ahead of us than there is behind. See, I'm convinced of this, that we lose hope because we don't live with a heavenly perspective. We are so focused on the present struggle. And what we need to be focused on is our future glory. And so today, I want to talk about having a heavenly perspective. A heavenly perspective. Because a heavenly perspective is what will bring hope on a regular basis when we are beaten down and this life knocks us to the ground and we're dealing with all the junk and garbage that we have to deal with. It is the hope of heaven that should motivate us and continue to keep us moving forward and pressing on as we go through this life. And so we're going to look at a letter that Paul wrote to this church in Corinth, one of the largest ancient cities in the ancient world. There was a huge church there that Paul had helped establish. And Paul writes this letter to the Corinthians to encourage them to continue to have a heavenly perspective, a heavenly focus in the midst of incredible persecution, of incredible difficulty that they are going through as a church and as a people. And so we're going to pick this up in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 8 and 9. And the first thing that we're going to look at here is Paul, he makes a statement about the difficulty and the challenges that they are going through. And so first thing he does is he empathizes with them. He says, listen, guys, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. And we might be struck down, but we are not destroyed. In other words, what Paul is saying here is, listen, guys, you're facing a lot of challenges. I get that, but take heart. Take heart. You may be pressed on every side. It may feel like the walls are closing in, but you are not crushed. You may feel confused, perplexed. You might not understand what's going on right now, but you are not in despair. There is reason to have hope. He says you might be persecuted. You might be being persecuted right now because of your beliefs, because of your faith, for some other reason, but you have not been abandoned. God is with you. Christ is with you. You may be struck down. You may be beaten down. You may be on the ground and feeling like you can't get back up, but know this, you have not been destroyed. You are not destroyed. There is a reason to take heart, and here's why. He goes on down in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. Though outwardly, he says, we are wasting away, yet inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. He says, our bodies, they're deteriorating. Like, we know this. Come on. If you are alive, if you are breathing right now, you know that the longer you go in this life, the more our bodies are deteriorating. I got to tell you something. When I was 17, I could hop out of bed like that. I could go for a 10-mile run one day, turn around the next day and run just as hard and never have an ache or a pain or anything bothering me. Now, I get up and walk to the fridge and I'm like tired and sore and I have difficulty getting out of bed. And I can only imagine it's just going to get worse and worse. And I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer, but this is the reality. This is the truth. And I think the perspective that we need to take, our bodies, they are deteriorating and they will, these bodies, they're not going to last forever. They're not going to last forever. And yet here's what he says. We don't lose heart, even in the midst of that, even in the midst of our earthly bodies kind of deteriorating away. He says, outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. You see, when you have Christ, when you have what Jesus did for you on the cross and the hope of that, Every single day, Scripture says there are new mercies for us every single day. That means that God is working and moving inside of our heart. He's growing us. He's challenging us to get better every single day. He's renewing our spirits. Why? Because we have a hope and a focus on Him. And that's why the first message last week is so important. We have a hope in Christ, a living hope that can never die, even though our bodies are dying. And then he goes on to say this. He says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." So we may be facing troubles right now, but Paul says this, in light of eternity, and Paul understood this. He understood the struggle. He was beaten. He was persecuted. He went through so many challenges in this life, but he saw his troubles as light and momentary. This is a perspective that we have to latch onto. If you want hope, you have to see your current struggle as light and momentary. What? In light of eternity. In light of eternity, he says, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. How could Paul do this? He could do this because he understood something vitally important. How could he see all of the struggle that he was going through and that they were going through as light and momentary? Because I'll be honest with you, there are moments in my life where it doesn't feel light. It doesn't feel like it's momentary. It feels like it's going to last forever. But this is what Paul understood, and this is what we must understand. The struggles that we go through here, the struggles that we go through in this life, they are just a tiny little sliver of the expanse of time that is eternity. They are. And we, when we get to heaven, when we finally get through this life, and even though it feels like such a long time, heaven is going to be forever, we are going to be compensated for in heaven. This is what he says. He says, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. The greatest rewards are reserved for those who are able to endure the struggle of this life and continue to press forward and continue to have faith in God that He is who He says He is and that His promises are true. The greatest rewards are reserved for those who suffer the most. And there's a part of me, and I'm sure there's a part of you that, man, I don't know that I like to hear that, right? Well, that's great. But that feels like so far off. I don't want to suffer now. I want things to be easy now, but I want to point you to Christ. Christ suffered more. He endured more than anybody who ever had to endure or suffer. He had the weight of the entire world's sin placed upon him. His suffering was greater than all of ours. And because of that, he was brought to a higher glory. He was elevated above every other name. That's what Philippians 2 says. His name is elevated above every other name. He is given the highest seat and the highest position of honor. Why? Because he suffered the most and did not lose heart and continued to stay true and obedient to his Father in heaven and to continue to have faith. And when we do the same, that is the reward that is waiting for us in heaven. It's not an instant gratification kind of thing, though. We have to wait for it. We have to be patient in our suffering and in our affliction. But we must have hope that one day we are going to receive that. I don't know about you, but that brings me hope today. When I'm going through suffering, knowing that when I am able to continue to have faith and continue to proclaim God is good through all of that, that there is an eternal glory that's coming from that, that helps me to get through that. And my prayer is that it will help you as well. He goes on. He says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Knowing this about suffering, this is what he says. Don't fixate on what you can see right here and right now. Don't do it. If you focus and fixate on the here and now, you're not going to have any hope. But if you put your perspective on what is to come, on what is unseen, we can't see heaven. We don't know exactly what it's going to be like. All we have is what Scripture tells us, what God tells us it's going to be like. It is unseen. But if you will focus on that instead of your current circumstance, there is a future glory that is to come. He says, for we know that if the earthly tent, I love this. We know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Again, he uses this analogy of a tent being like our bodies, right? A tent is temporary. A tent can be set up and torn down so easily. If a really strong wind comes or a storm comes, that tent's going to be blown over in a hurry. It's not stable, right? He says our bodies are like that. They are going to be destroyed like a tent. But he says we have a building from God, a building, a strong building made of stone, essentially, right? An eternal house, he says, in heaven, not built by human hands. A godly body that is going to be given to us. A godly body. And so take heart, because in heaven, things are going to be different. The old things of this world, the things that weigh you down, the things that beat you down and cause you to feel like you can't go on, they're going to go away. They're going to pass away in heaven. And so heaven is our hope. Your hope, this is the bottom line today, this is the message. Your hope is not here. Your hope is in heaven. Can I say that again? Your hope is not here. Your hope is in heaven. There is an eternal glory that awaits those who have been saved by Christ. And that should give us hope. And so I want to throw out a couple of challenges here for us this week. Some challenges that I believe if you'll lean into these, just like I'm trying to lean into them, they will change everything about the circumstance and situation that you are going through now and that you may go through in the future. We need to change our focus, change your focus from here to heaven. Change your focus from here to heaven. How do we do that? Well, number one, we remember that this world is not our home. This world is not our home. This world is not your home. Don't get too comfortable here. You know, it's like when I go on vacation. A lot of times I'll go on vacation and when you stay in the hotel room or the Airbnb or wherever you happen to be staying, they usually put a chest of drawers in there, maybe even some closets for you to take your clothes out and put all your clothes out. And I know there's probably some people who are like, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to use those things because it's like more organized and I can find stuff easier. But for me, it just feels like such a waste of time. Taking all my clothes out, putting them in a drawer, just to 2 or 3 days or even a week later, take all of those clothes back out and have to put them right back in the suitcase. Why? Because I ain't staying there. That's temporary. I'm on a short vacation, and when that vacation is over, I'm going home. I'm going home. I don't want to get too comfortable in that room because it's not where I'm going to be staying for the rest of my life. I'm going back home. Don't cling to this world. Don't cling to this life, because this life, eventually, it is going to go away. And there is a life to come for those who are in Christ in heaven that is so much better. What awaits us in heaven is so much better than what we have here. And here's the lie of Satan. Here's what he wants you to believe. That what this life has to offer is so much better than what you're going to experience in heaven. So you should cling to this life. You should cling to the things of this world. You should lose hope when you don't get the things in this life that you want or think that you should get. It's a lie. Don't believe it. Heaven is so much better. Remember, this world is not our home. But second of all, live like heaven is close. Like heaven is going to be here before you know it. Because I don't know about you, I'm 37 years old. And I feel like I blinked. And I went from being a teenager in high school to being almost 40 years old. I mean, it went by so fast. And those of you who may be older than me, I'm sure that you would say the same thing. And it just goes faster and faster and faster. Each year, it's just flying by. It's like every year I blink and it's Christmas again, right? And another year has gone by. And we don't live like this life is passing quickly, right? What's the saying? The days are long, but the years are short, right? And when you're in the middle of your struggle, I know, it can feel like it will never end. But I promise you this, heaven is so much closer than you think. Life is going to fly by so fast, and eternity is forever. It's an incredibly long time. I once heard Francis Chan use this illustration where he took a rope and it was like, 100 feet long, and he stretched it out through this crowd. And at the very tip of it, he put this just tiny little piece of red tape. I mean, it was no bigger than this on a rope that was 100 feet long. And he said, this little red tape right here, this represents this life. And I want you to pretend that this rope now, it just goes and goes and goes and goes and never stops. That's what this life is compared to eternity. And so you can focus on the short term. You can focus on what is in front of you right now and this life and this circumstance and this pain or whatever. Or you can focus on the long term. You can focus on what is to come. It's kind of like diet and exercise, right? I like to try to eat healthy. I like to try to exercise and keep my body in shape. But there's times when it is painful and it hurts, right? And exercising hurts and eating the right foods, it's like it's hard to have that discipline, right? And if we only focus on the moment, in that moment, what we want in that moment, we'll never achieve what we want to get out of diet and exercise. It is only by looking to the future and seeing what could be from the diet and from the exercise that we actually are able to withstand the temptation to not exercise or to not eat healthy. We must keep our eyes fixed on heaven, on the future, on what is to come. And we must remember this, that those who suffer most now and keep their faith, keep their hope in God, do not allow it to deter them. Do not allow that to make them turn away from God, but continue to believe in him. Those who suffer most and do that, they will receive the greatest reward in heaven. But then finally, first we're gonna remember this world is not our home. We're gonna live like heaven is close. And then we are gonna invest in eternity. We're gonna invest in eternity. I wanna challenge you to begin investing in what will last. Invest in something that will never perish or fade or spoil or go away. I love how Jesus puts this in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. He says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Jesus is saying, listen, don't invest in things that won't last. It's a bad investment to invest in this life, in the things of this life that will fade away one day, is a terrible, terrible investment. You would never invest your money in something that you know is not going to bring a return. If you know that in advance, right? We know where we are to invest. We are to invest in eternity, in heaven, right? People with a heavenly perspective, they understand this. People with a heavenly perspective understand that our resources, the things that we have, our time, our talent, our treasure, right? We are to use those things to build the kingdom of God, because that is what is going to last in eternity. That's what's going to last. And so I want to encourage you, invest. Invest in eternity. Number one, invest in people. Love people. Share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ with people. Use your talents to invest in people, to build the kingdom, whatever those talents might be. Your finances, your money. I promise you this, you're not taking it with you. You're not. You're not taking it with you. And so you have a choice. You can use your time and your talent and your money to try to build a legacy for this life, or you can use it to build a legacy for the future that will last for eternity. And again, what scripture tells us is that is where our reward is. We wanna build our treasure so that we get it when we get to heaven, where it's gonna last forever. It says where vermin and moths don't destroy. The bottom line is this. Your hope is not here. Your hope is in heaven. Your hope is not here. Your hope is in heaven. Say it to yourself over and over and over again as you're going through the fire of this life. Your hope is not here. Your hope is in heaven. Your hope is not here. Your hope is in heaven. God, my hope is not here. My hope is in heaven. And if you're a Jesus follower, your hope is not here. It's not here. Your hope is in heaven. And I don't know, maybe I'm being too aggressive today, but we need to start living like it. We need to live like our hope is in heaven. We need to invest in the kingdom. Like that is what is going to last for eternity. And if we are a Jesus follower, we have a hope. We have a hope, a promise of heaven that should help us to withstand. Just like Paul says, we are persecuted, but we are not crushed. We do not despair because we know that we know that we know we have a promise of something better than what this life has to offer. But you know, if you don't know Christ, if you've never put your faith and your trust in Him, then there is no hope. You don't have that hope. And so I just want to share with you, maybe you've never heard this before, or maybe it's been presented to you in a way that wasn't true or real, but this is the gospel, the good news. That's what that means. The good news of Jesus Christ is simply this, that I am a sinner, that I am in need of saving. The penalty for sin is death. The penalty for sin is death. And we don't like to talk about that because we don't like to be told that we're wrong, right? But I am a sinner. I'm a messed up dude. If you only knew some of the thoughts and the things that are in my mind and my heart, I so desperately need Jesus every day from one moment to the next, and so do you, whether you want to admit it or not. And I owed a debt. I owed a great debt that I could not pay, a debt so big that there was no way that I could ever repay it. But God, in His mercy, in His grace, in His love, what He did was He sent Jesus for me and for you, so that you could be free from that sin and from that death. Through His blood on the cross, this is what He offers you, grace. Not by anything that you do. You see, we live in a culture where it's like, we feel like we gotta work, we gotta do more to get right with God. If anybody's ever told you that, it's a lie. There is nothing you can do to get right with God. The only thing is to accept Christ and what He's done for us. That is how we receive eternal life. That is how we receive heaven. And it's a beautiful thing. It takes all the pressure off. I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to get it all right. I just have to allow Jesus Christ to do the work for me, to accept that, and then to just begin to live for Him, to make Him the Lord of my life. And so this is my challenge to you today. This is what Scripture says. Confess with your mouth that He is Lord, and believe in your heart that He was raised from the dead, and you will be saved. You will begin to experience the freedom of that. You will begin to have a new hope and a new future of a better life in heaven with Him, and He will begin to work on your life now. He'll start to make your life better now. The challenges and the struggles that you go through, He's going to be there with you. Through all of that, you will have a hope that can never be taken away. If you want heaven, if you want hope, this is the only way. Repent and come to Jesus. I love that word so much. Repent. It's a word that we don't like to use in Christian culture anymore. It just means to say, I'm sorry and I need you and I can't do this without you, God. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. I am so thankful for what Jesus did for me on the cross and what He continues to do in my life and how He's changing me and working in my heart and just moving me more and more towards Him and towards heaven.